I glanced up towards the glowing beast over the collapsed entrance and back to the last remaining passage on the far side of the chamber. There was no way we were going to be able to get past this thing in the state the others were in. I looked back at my friends. If I didn't get them out of here soon, the radiation would cook them alive. Even now they were struggling to move, sweat pouring from their brows. Violet coughed violently. The red meter clicked wildly, steadily increasing. At this level, any pony who was normal was not feeling well at all. Patch was doubled over, using Steeljack as support. Her free hoof was clutching her stomach. I grimaced. The massive glowing monster cackled madly as he neared the floor, the stone spelling away from his claws.
"I have been waiting for you,"
the monster snarled. I narrowed my eyes, a plan forming in my mind. I had only one shot at this to get the others free.
"Finishing touch," I said. "When I say to you, take the others and you get the fuck out of here, do you understand me?"
"Sir?"
Touch asked. Violet cried out as well.
"Don't, just don't, Violet. You guys need to get out of this radiation and you know it," I snapped. "I can hold this thing off until you get out of here. I can survive anything in these rats."
I ignited my horn.
"Be ready to move, Touch. I'm going to teleport you into the entrance up ahead."
"Can you even do that?"
the smooth said. I nodded silently, the spell enveloping my friends in soft purple light. A flash of light wrapped around them and they disappeared. At the far end of the chamber they reappeared. The giant glowing monster glared hatred at them, snarling as it leapt from pillar to give chase. Finishing Touch was already up, wrapping the others in his smoothie appendages. My friends disappeared through the doorway and out of sight. I flapped my wings, taking to the air as I unlatched Stargazer. A spray of bullets slammed into the wall, drawing the monster's attention.
"Hey!"
I snarled.
"Come play with Mama, you glowing bastard!"
The creature howled and leapt, soaring off its pillar straight at me. My eyes widened.
"Shit!"
I thought, forcing myself backwards with a buffet of wings as the glowing beast reached out with its razor-sharp bone tail. The beast missed, but its tail strapped my shoulder and barrel, leaving a gash across my hide. The radiation filling me with its warmth and power instantly healed the wound, and I grinned. The monster roared in fury as its attack failed. It landed in a crash of rubble and debris, coming out of the cloud in an instant with a chunk of rubble. It spun once, whipping the stone at me. I flared my horn, batting at the rock with my telekinesis. I sent it hurtling back with a mere sword, striking the creature directly in the face. It howled loudly.
You are her, aren't you? Even she couldn't fight as well as you,"
it said. The thing was starting to become a broken record. It kept talking like it knew me somehow.
"Who are you? What are you?"
I asked, the radiation giving me strength. I was confident that I could stall this creature long enough to give my friends time to escape. I hoped they were all right.
"And why do you keep acting like you know me?"
"You are my oldest enemy, Daring Do,"
it replied. I blinked.
"What?"
I thought. This thing thought that I was Daring Do? What the hell was this thing?
"You don't remember? It is I Zotl. I am your greatest enemy."
"I don't know who you think I am, but you've got the wrong pony,"
I said. The ghoul's eyes brightened and it roared again.
"No, you must be her. I will rip your body apart and pull your entrails out,"
screamed, leaping into the air again. This time it tried to wrap its bony tail around my barrel. I cast my shield spell instinctively and Ahizotl bounced off it screaming. The thing slammed into a pillar, grunting as debris showered it. The chamber shuddered under the force of the blow. I glanced up, feeling dust fall from above. This place wasn't going to last much longer under this punishment. It was eventually going to fail and I'd be trapped here. A grin formed on my face. A trap would be just fine indeed, if I wasn't the one caught in it.
"Come and get me, Ahizotl,"
I challenged, flapping my wings and speeding away. Ahizotl howled again and leapt. This time I flipped behind a pillar, actually running around the curved surface to dodge his attack. I couldn't restrain a peal of completely inappropriate laughter as I leapt off the pillar myself, soaring onto the center of the chamber as my foe slammed into it. The grinding and groan of rock shifting was louder and longer this time, and I hoped I had this right.
"It's been fun, dear Izotl, but I have to go play with someone who knows how to fight now," I taunted, swirling through the dusty air.
Izotl cried denial as I arced towards the door, and my peripheral vision just caught him lifting another massive chunk of rubble. I saw the debris fly through the air, enough rubble to easily block or destroy the entrance. I ignited my horn, visualizing the hallway, and cast a teleportation spell. Space warped around me, the radiation bleeding off as I deposited myself into the hall. I spun about, just as the thrown rubble smashed into the entrance, firing a wave of telekinetic force at the structure above me. I backed away as the hall rumbled, pushing and shoving at the grumbling stones. More fell from above the collapsing tunnel as I retreated. A glowing green arm thrust its way through the rubble as it fell, clawing furiously and trying to push its way through.
"No, no, no! I will find you, daring do! I will find you!"
Izotl roared through the rubble and debris.
"I will find you, and when I do, I will pull your insides out and feed them to my cats!"
I grinned as the shouting became faint and the glowing appendage was completely covered in fallen stone. I breathed a sigh of relief. I glanced at my pipbuck, pulling up Violet's tack to track her. I turned about, galloping hard. According to my automap, my friends were in another part of the temple's network of tunnels. My body still felt warm from the radiation, having not bled at all off from the teleport and the telekinetic wave. I turned down the next hall, seeing the others at the far end. Violet's eyes widened as she saw me. She started to rush forward, but I put up a hoof to stop her. I could see Featherjoy still squirming on her whiskers.
"Hold it, I'm a little too lit up for you to approach me," I said. "I need to bleed off a bunch of radiation. How are the others?" "Still not so hot, but I think we found a way out of here. There's a tunnel that leads up towards some outer ring," my love replied. I nodded. "Get out then, I will be right behind you. Once we are out, we can find some place to treat every pony," I said. "If I could teleport us to the surface, I would, but I can't if I don't know where I'm going. You need to get every pony out of here and fast, before that thing down in the chamber claws its way out. I kind of pissed it off."
A roar echoed down the hallway from behind me. I spun about, debris and rubble striking my shield as I brought it up. I glanced back at Violet.
"Run!"
I shouted. The other man nodded and hurriedly returned to the others, frantically grabbing them as they scurried down the hall. They were out of sight when a glowing claw appeared around the side of the tunnel. I pulled out Stargazer and grimaced as Arizotl's lice form appeared. The glowing monstrosity was in a bad way, cradling one of its forearms to its chest. It even looked less glowy. I fired up ESATS and stared at the spatters of glowing blood on the floor behind him. Ahizotl was determined to end me and my friends. Creature of legend or not, I wasn't going to let that happen. Stargazer's full payload was a torrent of hellfire in the room, stripping more life from Ahizotl in sprays of green and chunks of flesh. A bony tail shot through the air at me, shattering the shield I had forgot to pay attention to. I dodged enough that the blow slid along my shoulder instead of through my neck, but the shock of pain was enough to drop my focus. Stargazer hit the ground with a clatter and my shield dissipated. I growled under my breath as I shoved the beast backwards with a hard push of telekinetic force, making enough time for me to put Stargazer back on target. ESATS hadn't recharged, but I put a wave of fire on the roaring ghoul without it, stripping bone from its face. I narrowed my eyes. This thing was no longer interested in talking. It had gone completely feral. The cruel glint of intelligence was gone from its mate, glowing eyes. I needed to end this, and I needed to end it fast. Any more exposure to this thing and I'd be able to light up Ten Pony Tower all year long. I was out of time to play nice. My horn lit, grabbing hold of the tunnel around us, pulling the rocks and stone from the structure and bringing it down onto the glowing monster's back. I strained as I kept the spellwork going, using all the strength I could muster to continue dropping the rubble. Izotl dropped to the ground as hundreds of pounds of debris rained on him. The ghoul snapped and snarled as a particularly large stone dislodged from the ceiling above, striking him in the face. Glowing blood oozed from its eye sockets as the rubble pinned it into immobility. It screamed, a cry of rage and fury that was painful to hear. I stepped forward with Stargazer, slamming the multi-barreled front of my weapon down on his screaming face. Ahizotl yelped and I slammed Stargazer down again, and again, and over again until I was pounding my minigun into the stone, a shallow crater covered in slime where his head had been. I staggered backwards, staring at my gory weapon as the radiation and overuse of magic took its toll. I stumbled on a pebble and keeled over, Stargazer falling to the floor as my head hit the ground and blackness overtook me. I groaned, pushing myself into a sitting position. I knew for sure that I wasn't in the temple ruins anymore. Of course, I had to be right. The familiar door to the library stood open, waiting for me to enter.
"What does Twilight want with me now?" I thought angrily as I stood.
My thoughts drifted to my friends. I hoped they were all right, that they had gotten out of the death trap the Magisterium had forced us into. I wondered briefly if they had planned for us to take refuge inside the temple or had planned to kill us all outside and take finishing touch for themselves. I pondered also what I had seen in the temple's central chamber. Was it true that touch was a mystical smooth? I decided that it didn't matter. Still, that meant we were left with the problem of keeping the Magisterium from taking him. As I tried to come up with a plan, I stepped inside the dark library. At the far end of the center room, Twilight Sparkle toiled away at a report, several books floating around her in the grip of her magic. I regarded the Alicorn for a moment. I was beginning to get tired of seeing her, but I knew that she was my only way I was going to find Spark and finally figure out how to end the spell that she had cast. I stepped onto the hard wood, the sick tock of my hoofs drawing Twilight's attention. She looked up at me, a grimace on her face.
"Star," she said sarcastically, "you know, you really have to stop coming here like this. Do you really just get yourself knocked out all the time or what?"
"Gee, I don't know. Do you sit in your library reading your books all the time?"
I replied with just a hint of venom in my voice.
"Besides, I thought you said I wouldn't burn out my magic anymore. Under normal circumstances only. I think we can both agree that sucking up that much radiation and using it to blow a temple apart and fight off the remnant of an immortal demigod is hardly normal," Twilight said, her horn flaring as it closed the book she was reading.
"And you didn't think to try and help me at all?" I complained.
Twilight scowled.
"I told you already, Star, the connection between us is tentative at best. We need to disable Spark to even get close to fixing anything," she said. "Speaking of fixing, why are you wasting your time with this current venture? The longer you wait to find her, the more time Spark has to enact her plan."
"Are you suggesting that I let a friend get taken and possibly killed?"
I asked, raising an eyebrow.
"You would condone such an action?"
Twilight's eyes narrowed.
"I would condone any action that would save the world," she replied. "This seems pointless. This creature that you have chosen to befriend, it's not natural."
"Touch is more than just a creature," I argued. "He's a kind soul. There's nothing evil about him."
"And yet he absorbed a living pony by complete accident," Twilight countered.
I sighed.
"Does that not strike you as evil?"
"It wasn't an intentional action, Twilight. If these ponies hadn't been chasing him, he wouldn't have done it in the first place," I said.
Twilight trotted over to her bookshelves, placing the books she had been studying back in them. She motioned for me to follow her.
"And yet he still did. What if the next time it happens to one of your friends? To the young griffin?" she said. "What would you do then?"
"That won't happen," I said flatly.
"And what if it does?"
Twilight replied as she stalked through the rows of books. I stopped, pondering the mare's words. What would I do if Finishing Touch turned evil? Or if he inadvertently hurt Featherjoy, or even Violet? Twilight stopped too, not looking back at me. We stood there in silence for several moments, neither of us speaking. Finally, I broke the calm.
"I would do what was necessary," I said softly. "But that still doesn't mean I will let Truthseeker have him. I don't trust that pony, Twilight. He has other plans for Touch. I can just feel it."
"Do you think he would just try to use this creature as a weapon?" Twilight said.
I shrugged.
"Maybe,"
I said.
"If that's the case, then shouldn't I do my best to help my friend?"
"Or you destroy him yourself," Twilight said. and eliminate the problem altogether. I blinked. Was this really the same Twilight Sparkle? I narrowed my eyes at her.
Not happening, I said. I think it's time that I go now. I have friends I need to get back to.
Twilight nodded, pointing at the door.
Then go, Star, and don't come back until you've found Spark, she said angrily.
The mare turned with a huff, leaving me alone in the sea of bookshelves. I sat there, wondering what in the world had just happened when the black came rushing back in. A hoof shoved my shoulder hard as my eyes fluttered open and close. I groaned.
Mom, 5 more minutes, really?
I whispered, rolling over onto my side. The hoof jabbed into my side and my eyes shot open wide. I looked up, seeing Violet standing above me.
Violet? Oh, sweetheart, you gotta get back. I'm all irradiated.
You're not, Violet said softly.
At least, not anymore. It bled off.
I blinked. I realized she was right. My pip buck was no longer clicking like crazy. I pushed myself up, glancing about. We were in a different part of the temple ruins.
Where are we?
I said hoarsely. My throat felt like it had gone through the ringer. Further up in the temple, I found a way out. There's a tunnel that leads right out to the surface. The others are camped out a stone's throw from the entrance.
And how is everyone?
I asked hesitantly. Violet smiled brightly, calming my nerves instantly.
Well, once we got everyone away from the radiation, we were able to use the Radaway more effectively. We're completely out, but everyone is fine. Even Featherjoy is all right, she said.
She motioned for me to follow her. I trotted next to the green mare, breathing a deep sigh of relief. Everyone was okay. The truth of the matter hit me like a ton of bricks. We rounded the next corner, which led to a set of broken stairs headed up. Light flooded in from above where the entrance was. At the foot of the stairs on the landing was the rest of our friends. For the most part, every pony looked pretty strung out. Steeljack and Patch sat next to each other, the Grey Earth pony doing what he could to keep his love's spirits up. The two had smiles on their faces regardless. Nixie sat across from the two, looking ragged but in good cheer. Lilith was in the middle of watching the stairs intently. She looked better than any of the others. I idly wondered whether it was the power armor or the blessing of the statues that gave her an advantage against radiation. Featherjoy looked up from where she was sitting next to Finishing Touch and let out a cry of pure enthusiasm. The young griffin leapt from her position, fluttering across a clearing to wrap herself around my leg.
"You're right,"
she exclaimed. I smiled, reaching out with a hoof and ruffling her head feathers.
"Of course I am," I said. "How are you feeling, Featherjoy?"
The griffin disengaged from my leg, smiling widely.
"I'm feeling a lot better, Mrs. Star," she said. "Thank you for getting us out of there."
I chuckled.
"There's no need to thank me, sweetie. You should thank your friend over there," I said, pointing over at Finishing Touch.
The purple creature seemed to shift uncomfortably at my motion.
"If it weren't for his quick moving, we'd still be stuck down there."
I looked over at Patch and Steeljack.
"What about you two? Are you all right?"
The green mare nodded.
"I'm fine," she said softly. "Just a little shaken up, that's all."
I smiled. I knew that she was lying right off the bat, but I decided not to press the issue further. We still needed to get out of the temple ruins and figure out how to evade the Magisterium. To that end, I turned to Violet.
"We should probably get moving then," I said. "Maybe we can get lucky and give Truthseeker the slip," I said.
Violet grimaced.
"Uh-oh, I know that look," I thought.
"It's not that easy," Lilith interjected. "The Magisterium are waiting for us outside this tunnel. Their patrols have been just sitting there. I don't think they have the guts to come in after us."
I groaned.
"Great, out of the frying pan and into the fire," I replied, pacing back and forth.
We needed to get Touch past these guards and away from Truthseeker, but how? How were we going to do this?
"We need a plan then, either disable the guards or sneak past them."
"In our state, an open fight is just asking for trouble," Steeljack said. "It'd be a real bad idea to just go out guns blazing."
"I agree," Nixie said. But we cannot stay here either. Eventually, Truthseeker will grow impatient and decide to enter the ruins.
I nodded in response. So it seems we need an alternative route, I said. How much food do we have left?
Enough to last at least 2 days, maybe a day and a half, Patch said wearily. Anything that wasn't sealed needed to be tossed out, to irradiate it.
I sighed. For the most part, keeping food hadn't been much of an issue for us, having left Theater and Arlington with stores of the stuff. Now most of it had been ruined. I grumbled under my breath at the harsh reality of this. We were trapped here until we figured out how to deal with the Magisterium and Truthseeker. I needed to think on this more. In any case, if we did have enough time, then there was no time like the present.
I know that this looks bad, I started to say. But we'll get through this. We'll come up with something. In the meantime, let's rest up a bit and try to get some sleep. We'll keep rotating watch over the entrance and we'll all do our best to think up a good plan.
The others nodded wearily but thankful to get any form of rest. It wasn't going to be much, but we had to do something. I trotted up the hall to take first watch, glancing out of the entrance briefly into the bleak wasteland. Several red blips appeared on my EFS and I saw the gleam of assault rifles in the distance. I grimaced as I watched them shuffle about. Truthseeker was toying with us. It seemed that he had infinite patience. In turn, I had even greater patience as I kept watch.
Star?
I heard a voice behind me after several hours. I glanced back, seeing Patch standing there. I smiled.
Hey,
I said. The green mare trotted up to me, slumping to her haunches.
Are you all right?
I ventured to ask. Patch nodded.
Yeah, I'm fine, she replied softly. Everything is fine. Are you sure?
I said.
It's just you've been a little... It's nothing,
Patch said curtly.
Look, I just don't want to talk about it, Star. Please.
I sighed, hanging my head.
All right, I said. I'm sorry, but if you ever want to, I'm here for you, Patch. You know that, right?
The green mare nodded slowly, meeting my gaze.
Good. I'm gonna go get some rest, then. The watch is yours.
I trotted down the hallway, my mind growing with thoughts of my friends, of Spark, of Finishing Touch, and Truthseeker. I couldn't separate myself from them. I made my way over to where Violet was laying and plopped down onto the ground next to her. I sighed, resting my head. Sleep did not come easily for me. I tossed and turned and groaned when Violet awoke to take her turn at watch. I felt like I was missing something. There had to be a way out of this that didn't end with a big fight. I was loath to admit it, but I did not want to see Finishing Touch do whatever he had done to that pony before again. He deserved better than that. Truthseeker and the Magisterium, despite their trap, were merely doing what they believed was right. I was reminded by something I had said to Grey Knight that the wasteland was morally ambiguous. As I tried to allow sleep to take me, I was never so certain in my life that I was right. Eventually, I awoke once more and decided to try and meditate. I breathed deeply, trying to feel the world around me, to understand what envy had tried to instill in me. Closing my eyes, I let my thoughts drift away. Oh, who am I kidding? I only tried to let go. I groaned as I opened my eyes and glanced about the dark clearing. I couldn't even begin to let go of my thoughts. I was never going to get this. I wished that I could talk to Envy some more. It would at least let me vent my frustrations over not being able to meditate. I certainly wasn't going to cast any zebra magic anytime soon if I couldn't even perform simple meditation. I needed a release, and without Violet around, I needed something tangible. I opened my saddlebags, trying to find a memory orb I could crawl into for several hours. I blinked when I saw one I hadn't seen before, and I couldn't recall it ever being registered in my inventory. Tapped onto the orb was a crude piece of paper with a message comprised of magazine letters. Watch me. I narrowed my eyes at the new memory orb. Who had put it there? At the very least, it would give me a bit of distraction for a while. I reached out with magic, grasping onto the memory orb and falling away into darkness.
I knew immediately whose host body I was occupying. It was a body I'd been in numerous times before. Twilight walked down the long hallway, her hoofs making a sharp clip-clop sound against the marble floor. I recognized this building. It was the Ministry of Arcane Science up in Canterlot. The spires of Equestria's capital rose into the sky outside the window beyond. My host had a pit in the bottom of her stomach, almost like she didn't want to be here. At the end of the hall was a set of double doors with a sign above that said, Conference Room. My host pushed the doors open, stepping inside.
Twilight!
A bubbly voice shouted. A pink blur zipped across the room, wrapping two forelegs around my host's neck. My host closed her eyes, sighed, and smiled softly.
Hello, Pinky,
my host said. The pink mare extracted herself from my host, her grin wider than her face. There were bags under her eyes, and there was a shocking amount of gray in her poofy pink mane.
Pinky, let her in the room, will ya? We've got business to discuss,
a voice said from behind Pinky. My host glanced past the other mare to see an orange earth pony sitting by herself at the large table in the room. A white Stetson hat rested on the mare's brow, and she wore a black suit.
Howdy, Twi. Take a seat. We're just waiting on the others to show up.
My host nodded silently, pulling out one of the chairs across from Applejack and sitting down on her haunches.
Applejack,
my host said. Pinky shrugged, plopping down on the chair next to Twilight. A knock at the door drew my host's attention. The large doors opened and the rest of the ministry mares entered. Rarity came first, her swirling purple locks dancing in the light. She wore a simple business suit accented by a feathered hat. Fluttershy trotted behind her, her face pinched and anxious. Rainbow Dash followed last, strutting confidently. She closed the door behind her. Each of the others took their place at the table. Silence reigned for several moments.
I don't like this.
A voice from behind my host's thoughts. Spark sounded anxious.
So, Twilight started to say, I'm sort of wondering how all of you managed to get away from your security details to schedule this meeting. It's not often that we get together without a bunch of guards breathing down our necks.
Luna,
Applejack said curtly, narrowing her eyes.
Gave her approval for this. That's all you need to know.
And what, if I may ask, is the reason for this meeting?
My host asked. Awkward silence filled the room, almost as if the other five mares didn't want to say anything. Finally, the one pony I hadn't sought to speak raised her voice.
We're worried about you,
Fluttershy said quietly. My host's eyes widened and she stood.
I knew it, Twilight said. I knew that you would try this.
She started towards the door, attempting to push it open. It wouldn't budge. My host snarled, slamming on it with her hoofs.
Let. Me. Out.
Applejack was on her feet and across the room in an instant. She placed a hoof on my host's shoulder.
Toi, sit,
she said, pointing the other hoof at the empty chair. My host glared at her. She trotted back over to the chair and sat down.
Fine, say what you have to say and then get out,
Twilight said angrily.
I have things to do.
Twilight, darling, please, just listen to us. We are all worried about you. This isn't healthy, this way you've been treating yourself,
Rarity said.
Yeah, Twi, you're really freaking us out,
Rainbow Dash added. Fluttershy nodded silently. Twilight narrowed her gaze at her friends.
And I keep telling you I'm perfectly fine,
my host said.
But you're not,
Pinky suddenly said. Her eyes had drooped and she looked quite sad.
You're sad, Twilight, and we know it.
Twilight,
Applejack said.
I'm gonna be right honest with you, Sugarcube. It's been 6 months. Your brother's gone. You need to pony up and deal with this, and this isn't the right way for you to do it.
What do you know?
Twilight spit venomously.
I'm not sad or frightened or angry. I'm focused. And you can go tell Luna that. The things my ministry are doing. They'll end this war and help every pony.
At the cost of your own life?
Rarity asked.
Any cost is worth it to end this conflict, my host said, glaring at her five friends. Twilight, I really don't like this. The others, they're here too,
Spark said from behind my host's thoughts. I felt time slow as I watched the six mares continue to speak.
I suddenly felt the presence of 5 other entities in the room and I realized what I was witnessing. The elements of harmony. They were here and they wanted to speak. I cringed. If this memory was what I thought it was, this was when the elements tried to murder one of their own.
Spark, darling, long time no see.
A ringing voice echoed through the void. It was as if the elements were sitting around a large round table of their own, in a different plane.
Generosity, Spark said. To what do I owe the pleasure? You've been a bad, bad pony, Sparky-wacky,
a bubbly voice replied. I knew that voice. It was laughter.
You're overstepping your bounds,
a rough voice said that could only be honesty interjected.
Revealing yourself to your bearer? What are you planning on?
My bearer is a little more in tune with harmony if she can see and hear me, honesty, Spark said. I can't help that.
You're lying, or did you forget that I can tell when you do that?
Honesty said.
Now, Honesty, a soft and gentle voice said. There must be some reason that magic has done what she has done.
I don't buy her kindness, Honesty said. She's hiding something.
Yeah, kindness, you agreed to this too, remember?
A brash and rough voice said. Loyalty sounded much like Rainbow Dash indeed.
I know, but I think we should give her the benefit of the doubt,
kindness said.
Ever since this war began, every pony has been so angry at each other.
Then explain yourself, Spark, honesty said.
You want to know why I've revealed myself to Twilight?
Spark said, her voice smooth and amused.
I'm going to immortalize myself. I will transcend this form and attain my own Alicorn body.
What? Honesty said. What do you mean?
Twilight really is quite intelligent. There's definitely a reason that she is a princess and an Alicorn, Spark said.
I could tell that she was grinning. None of this made any sense. I had been told by both Twilight and Spark that the other elements had tried to kill her. But this didn't seem like that at all.
She just needed a nudge is all. Her brother gave her all the reason in the world to develop a spell to give me my own form.
You can't, Loyalty argued.
Don't you even know what that would do? That would break the elements. Please, I know exactly what I'm doing. In case you forgot, I'm the spark that makes all of you exist.
Spark spat.
I can carry us forth into reality itself. Can't you see that? I'm doing this for all of you. Once I am complete, I can use this power to bring you all along as well. But we don't want that magic, kindness said. I just want to hear Fluttershy be happy again. She's so sad lately. And all I want to do is see Pinky smile,
laughter interjected.
Ever since this nasty war started, no pony smiles. You don't understand, do you? If I have my own form, we'll be able to end this war. Every pony will have no choice but to bow to us as their goddesses of harmony. We'll rule forever.
That ain't harmony, Honesty said. That's tyranny and you know it.
And this war isn't? You don't see it, do you? Luna, the ministries? They're going to end this world. It's all their fault this conflict has gone this far. It's time we did something about it,
Spark snarled.
By forcing ponykind into servitude?
Loyalty said.
There's no loyalty in that. Darling, this isn't at all like you. What happened to make you think like this?
Generosity asked, her voice filled with concern.
Maybe you don't know me as well as you think you do, Spark said angrily. I thought that you would support this. This will give you back your bearers. You can laugh and play again as though nothing is even wrong.
As a cause of the demise of everyone else, Honesty said. I'm sorry, Spark, I truly am, but we can't let you do this.
A rush of energy accompanied the voice of the element. It surged through the ether towards the spirit of magic. I felt the power of the elements assaulting one of their own, and it was intense. Did the elements truly have this strange and amazing power? Spark roared in the back of Twilight's mind, causing the mare to fall to her knees in front of her friends.
Twilight!
Rainbow Dash shouted. She was the first one to her fallen friend's side, placing a wing over her.
What's wrong? Are you all right?
Twilight shuddered, holding a hoof to the side of her head.
Get away!
She breathed out, pushing the other mare away from her. Twilight's vision swam with pain as she struggled to stand. her horn flat in defiance of the pain, cutting through it like a butter knife.
Leave me alone!
The mare snarled and cast her spell, disappearing into thin air before her friend's eyes. She reappeared in a bedroom, tumbling to the ground immediately.
Thank you,
Spark huffed in the rear of her mind. Twilight groaned as she climbed off the floor onto the bed.
Don't mention it. What happened?
She choked out.
The other elements, they tried to sever my connection to you,
Spark replied.
They tried to kill us both, Twilight. You can't trust your friends. Not anymore.
I awoke with a cold start, breathing hard. A sharp pain echoed in the back of my skull. I realized quickly that I had probably hit my head on something. I sat there in the darkness, trying to process what I had just watched. Sure enough, Spark and Twilight hadn't lied about what the elements had tried to do, but Spark had lied to Twilight. Spark's true intent was to control the elements themselves and to rule Ponykind with an iron hoof. My thoughts flittered back to what the Pinkie Pie hologram in Stable 180 had said. The world needed the element of magic. Did Spark deserve the second chance I was so desperate to give her? I shook my head, pushing that thought away. I knew deep down that she did. I had to believe that. I truly did. I glanced down at the memory orb in my hoofs and sighed. This wasn't the first one that had shown up without explanation. Who was leaving these orbs? What was I trying to get me to see? Was it Twilight? If so, what was her angle in this? I groaned and glanced over at the others. They were still asleep. Steeljack was taking his turn to watch us. My eyes widened when I realized that one of our number was missing. Finishing Touch was nowhere to be seen while Featherjoy was curled up next to Violet.
Steeljack!
I shouted across the clearing, causing every pony to wake up instantly. The armored stallion looked back, his eyes hidden by Tempest's blue visor.
Touch is gone!
What? He said, scanning the area. But how? He was just here a few minutes ago.
Touch?
Featherjoy called out, her eyes teary.
Where did he go, Star?
I narrowed my gaze at the young griffin.
I don't know, but we'll find him, I said, turning to Violet. I'm guessing that he probably snuck past us somehow. I'm not sure how he got by our EFS, but there isn't much we can do about that.
Something's not right out there. I can't see anything on my EFS. The Magisterium, they're gone.
Steeljack called out from near the tunnel entrance.
Shit!
I muttered under my breath. I had some idea of what had happened. Touch had turned himself into Truth Seeker. It was the only possible way that would get us out of this hellish temple and the Magisterium's hoofs. Still, it was a stupid, stupid move. One that I myself would have probably done if I were in his place.
All right then, we're moving out. We need to find him and try to end this peacefully. But be ready, there's a chance that Truth Seeker already has him and I don't want to risk anything.
Despite the fact that everyone was still not feeling too hot, the news that one of our own was in possible danger spurred them on like their own injuries and sickness was nothing. I latched up Stargazer, stepping out of the tunnel and into the brightness of the wasteland. The sloping valley that led away from the entrance showed just how large the temple really was. It was set in the side of a large mountain range, hidden away from normal prying eyes. I wondered briefly if the book that had been sitting in the central chamber was the only reason the place had been built. Who had even took the opportunity to build such a thing? And what of the monstrosities that had attacked us? How did it get in there? What was its purpose? Why did it keep calling me Daring Do? My mind buzzed with distracting thoughts and I tried to stay focused on the here and now as I started down the trail. My friends stayed close in behind me. I narrowed my eyes at the mountainous valley below us. Nothing appeared on my EFS. I wondered just how far Finishing Touch had gotten. Had Truth Seeker made off with him? What if he was already dead? I closed my eyes.
No,
I thought. I refused to believe it. I would not let another friend get killed. I had seen too much death already. The trail led down deep into the valley, the shadows of the mountains behind us drawing over the land.
There were signs here and there left behind by the Magisterium's guards, from hoofprints to scorch marks on crude targets hung in the dead foliage. Still, there was no physical sign of our friend. I grimaced, wondering if I was maybe wrong somehow. As we walked, I tried my best to formulate a plan of how to deal with the Magisterium. Truthseeker was still able to cancel out any of my magic, so there was no chance of using any of my more advanced spells against him. I was lost in my thoughts, trotting along until I saw it. Rather, until I walked into it. A large crystalline wall, scorched black by the mega spells and crumbling due to the ages of time, lined the ridge ahead of us. I cringed as I fell backwards from the impact. Rubbing my nose with my forehoof, I stood, placing the other hoof on the wall. It was cool to the touch.
"What's that?"
I said.
"Oh,"
I heard Featherjoy say.
"Where did that come from?"
I don't know," I said. "It wasn't here a second ago."
I glanced down the length of the wall, looking for any way past it. Down the ridge was what appeared to be some form of large crystal gate. Past the wall, several blips shimmered in and out of my EFS. Somehow the wall was playing with the Pipbuck's spell, preventing it from working properly. I grimaced. If this was the Magisterium's headquarters, it was certainly impressive. We moved down the ridge to the massive gate, in awe of the smoky black crystal that made up the entrance. I stepped up to the entrance, pushing forward on it with a hoof. It wouldn't budge. I grimaced, flaring my horn and reaching out with my magic. I felt a sharp pain in the back of my mind as my telekinesis touched the black crystals, reeling back and cutting off the spell as quickly as I started it.
"Star,"
Violet said, coming to my side and holding me up before I could tumble to the ground. I groaned.
"Something with the crystals hates magic,"
I breathed. I put up a hoof to my horn, rubbing my forehead. A dull throbbing formed at the base of my appendage.
"Dar won't patch."
"Step back, then,"
a voice from behind me said. I glanced back at Lilith, who had a grin on her face. The familiar whine of the bitch punctuated her statement. I smiled softly and beckoned to Featherjoy to stand away from the black mare. Lilith snarled under her breath, letting loose at the crystal gate. The missile struck true, exploding in a shower of black crystals and roiling smoke. I put up a shield as best I could, deflecting pieces of the black substance away from our little group. Each one that struck dimmed the shield a little more until the magical barrier dissipated on its own.
"Did I do it?"
Lilith said hopefully. The smoke cleared, revealing a massive hole in the side of the gate. My eyes widened as I glimpsed what had been hiding behind the wall. It was what appeared to be a city, the landscape transitioning from the gentle rise into another bowl valley, this one a lot larger than the one the temple was in. The buildings were crystalline in nature, shattered under the force of the war or of time. Some of the taller structures had toppled over, resting on the smaller buildings. In the center of the valley was a tower made of sharp, black crystal jutting upward into the sky. Halfway up, though, the tower had cracked, the rest of it laying across the far end of the valley. It looked like some pony had simply snapped the structure in a neat, clean break and then set it in an angle on the other buildings. There were simple crystal structures popping out of the landscape, all of them the same black color as the wall and the gate.
"What the hell is this place?"
I heard Patch say. I shook my head.
"No idea," I said. "I've never seen anything like it. It's like something out of a storybook."
"Post-apocalyptic storybook,"
Lilith uttered.
"Freaky."
I have a bad feeling about this place, Star,"
Nixie's whispered from next to me. I nodded.
"Let's be careful not to touch anything,"
I said, glancing back at my EFS. The blips on it flickered in and out, reporting several non-hostile markers up ahead. Non-hostile? What was going on here? I was pretty sure the last time we saw the Magisterium they were seriously hostile. We moved cautiously forward and I floated out Stargazer just in case. The blackened crystal buildings loomed on each side of the main drag that led up towards the broken tower. As we walked, I glanced about nervously. I felt like we were being watched with every step. The silence was deafening, the sounds of our hoofsteps falling away without an echo. Eventually, the main plaza underneath the tower came into view. It had been converted into some form of a ritual area, a massive altar standing in the center. Several unicorns milled about the altar. They bore the same style of dress as the guards of the Magisterium. They paid us no attention as we made our way into the plaza. Featherjoy clung to my leg, clearly frightened of these ponies. "I wonder if this is like the headquarters or something," Violet said quietly.
"Looks like some cuckoo crazy stuff to me," Patch replied.
"To you maybe, but to us it is home," a voice rang out from across the plaza.
I glanced up, seeing Truthseeker. Here in the center of his power, the leader of this mysterious group of ponies was wearing a flowing white robe, illuminated by a bright orange sun standard. His crimson coat made the robe seem like it was a shining light amongst the blackened crystal structures. He wore a smug grin on his face.
"Truthseeker," I said curtly. "Where's our friend? We know you have him."
Truthseeker's grin faded.
"The Smooth? We had thought he had escaped and that you had perished in the temple," the unicorn said. "He's not here."
"Liar!"
Featherjoy exclaimed. She hopped off of my leg to stare indignantly at the red stallion.
"You have him!"
Truthseeker hung his head.
"I wish that I did, little one. But it seems our search for the beast has begun anew," he replied. "If you are not with him, that means he left of his own accord, am I right?"
I nodded in response.
"I thought as much. Your so-called friend has left because he realizes what he is. He is a monster, destined to destroy everything. You must see that Ministry Mare."
"You're wrong," I said angrily. "You're beginning to sound like a broken record, Truthseeker. If you don't have our friend, we'll be going then."
"Oh, I don't think you will. You see, I happen to know for a fact that the beast has formed somewhat of an attachment to the young griffin. I figure if I keep you here, he will be more apt to show his slimy excuse for a face," the unicorn said, grinning. He motioned to the guards in the plaza with a hoof. The unicorns pointed their rifles at us menacingly. I noticed that they weren't using any magic to hold them. I narrowed my gaze at the leader of the Magisterium. Truthseeker had a smug grin on his face.
"Thy will be done, Inquisitor," one of the guards said.
"You won't get away with this, Truthseeker,"
I snarled, flaring my horn. A sharp pain echoed through the base of my skull. I grunted in pain, the light from my horn dissipating as quickly as it had appeared.
"Funny thing about this place," Truthseeker said. "The crystals in this place have a lot of history. They exhibit interesting properties. They steal magic, void it out. It's one of the major reasons we are here studying them. One of the greatest finds in the century, so to speak. Suffice to say, you won't be casting any spells while you are here."
I hissed, the dull throbbing in my horn subsiding as I felt the void magic sap the strength from me. Truthseeker grinned, his horn flickering black.
"Thankfully, I have been exposed enough to them to resist their effects. My own unique brand of talent seems to help."
"What do you want, then?" Violet said. "You obviously have us where you want us."
"I only want the creature," the Crimson Unicorn said. "Nothing more. After I have him, you will be free to leave. However, should he not show his face, well, I will be forced to kill you to prove a point."
"Let him go,"
a voice from above shouted. We looked up collectively and I smiled widely. Standing atop one of the nearby broken buildings was Finishing Touch. He was pointing at the Inquisitor with one goopy hand.
"You want me, Truthseeker, not them?"
"Indeed, creature," Truthseeker called. "Why don't you come down then? We have much to discuss, you and I."
Finishing Touch shook his head fiercely.
"Tell me what you know about me first. What am I?"
the purple thing said. Truthseeker grinned wearily. "Okay, creature, I will entertain your simple request. After all who seek knowledge are welcome in the Magisterium. You are a monster, plain as day. You are destined to cover this world in your eternal goo, destroying everything in sight," he replied. "You are an abomination that must be destroyed." Finishing Touch appeared to be lost in thought, processing Truthseeker's words. I grimaced.
"Don't listen to him," I shouted angrily. "You're not what he says you are, Touch. You're better than that. You have friends."
No, he's right, Star. All I am, all I ever was to be distraction.
Touch said, cutting me off.
And I'm ready to end this. I'm afraid, Star. I'm afraid that what I did to that poor pony I will do to one of my friends. To you, or to Feather Joy.
You see the futility of your actions, Ministry Mayor. Even the beast itself recognizes its own purpose.
True Seeker said, returning his attention to finishing touch. Now come, creature, and meet your final judgment. The purple smooth leapt from the side of the building, landing next to the Inquisitor. He looked over at me somberly. Featherjoy leapt past me, her eyes filled with tears.
Touch!
She shouted. I reached out with my telekinesis, pulling the young griffin back. The effort was futile as the void crystal sapped my magic out of my horn.
No, Touch, you can't do it. Please, Touch!
The smooth mouthed the words I'm sorry as he slid up before Truthseeker. Featherjoy began to sob at my feet.
You're making the right choice, evil creature.
Truthseeker said, his horn flaring in a blaze of black fire. His eyes glowed with an unnatural light. I growled under my breath, doing the only thing that made sense at the time. I ignited my horn, wrapping my magic around Thunderflash on Violet's back. I grunted through the pain, leaping forward. The beam rifle unlatched from its harness and zipped up into the air next to me. I lifted the gun, took aim, and fired. Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. Violet Iris, level up. Patch, level up. Steeljack, level up. Lilith, level up.